Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. My name is Jared Houle, and my grandmother, Billy Brim, is out kind of on a vacation, some Mimi time, as we call her Mimi. My mother and Brenda Brim, and we have a testimony from a very special prayer. She's originally from the, South Africa?
No, Johannesburg, South Africa.
Yeah, Gail Naidoo. Right, yes. Did I get that right? We've been going through that often.
Yes, Gail
to make sure we say that right. But I just want to hand it off to you, Mom, and just kind of lead in however you feel this week. We do. I just want to start with prayer. We prayed before, but the purpose of this week is the Holy Spirit's way and the Father's way, not Gail's, not Jared's, not my mom's way, but you, Father. And we plead the blood over it, and we thank you for the word sent forth, that it ministers to those hearts that are supposed to hear it, and that it affects them, and the seed that it brings forth fruit in Jesus' name. So, Mom?
Well, Gail, I never will forget the first time that we heard your testimony, or even an inkling of it, and that was, I think it was a Wednesday, and Mom, we were praying at Prayer Mountain every Wednesday at 12, we pray, and we have it online. And I remember we were praying about, I think it was Iran or Iraq, and we were. Mom goes, you know, God give them a vision, and lo and behold, give them a vision of Jesus, and lo and behold, I don't know if it was during that time, but you know, you said, I think, did she ask? Do you remember, Gail?
She was praying for God to give them visions, and I knew that because of people like your mom and prayers all over the world, that's the reason why Jesus appeared to me. So I felt led to lift up my hand and give testimony that because of people praying all over the world for the unsaved, I was the recipient of receiving salvation. And I lifted up my hand to tell her and to give testimony. And that's how it all happened.
Oh, wow. So can you just tell us, just start, Gail. So we didn't know Gail until the Lord brought her and she shared that. And this is a very special time. And if you have unsaved loved ones, this will bless you and make sure that the Holy Spirit will minister to you through this time. I'm just going to let Gail go with what God has. She's a minister herself, very, very well qualified. And so go ahead, Gail. Just start where you feel free. And you know, this is easy. This is just letting Him come through our mouths and speak. And so just go for it.
I just want to thank you, Pastor Brenda and Pastor Billy, for giving me this opportunity to share my story, my testimony of the amazing grace of God. I was born and raised in Johannesburg, South Africa, in an Indian community during apartheid days called Lanesia. Lanesia was situated south of Johannesburg, and I grew up in a Hindu home with my mom and dad and my sister and two siblings. And it was my duty and responsibility every week to light the lamp, which is our Hindu god. It's called the Vulka in Tamil religion. And to light it, to wash it, to adorn it. And every Friday do prayers and cut up three kinds of fruit with milk and food items and put it in front of the lamp, the Vulka, and say prayers. And we had a whole bunch of our Hindu gods on the wall, and the Vulka was strategically placed in the living room, and apparently that represented the light in the home, God's light in the home. So at a certain time every day we would have to light it, but once a week I'd have to clean it and adorn it. And being the eldest, that was my duty and responsibility. But my home growing up was very dysfunctional due to my dad being an alcoholic. But he was an abusive alcoholic too. So there was verbal abuse, physical abuse, and mental and emotional abuse. But thank God, no sexual abuse. And I don't say that lightly. My heart goes out to everybody that's been sexually abused. And we grew up in this environment. So we were Hindus, but not practicing Hindus, because the head of the home never taught us about Hinduism. And when I was little, I'd go to Tamil school, but I just went for a few weeks and stopped. My dad.
What was the name? The Tamil school.
It's like, you know, you go to your normal school mm-hmm. during the day, and in the afternoon you go and learn how to read and write Tamil. And I started that for a couple of weeks, but my dad wouldn't take me off, and so that stopped. So we were growing up in this home, being Hindus, but not actually practicing Hindus in the true sense. Besides doing the rituals every day by lighting the lamp and doing my ritual of cleaning it every week on a Friday. As I grew up, I can remember, Pastor Brenda, you know, looking back now, the hand of God on your life, even although you're Hindu, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and God is always there. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, God is always there. At 5 or 6, I would go to bed crying every night. Every night I would go to bed crying, asking God, because I was always God-fearing. I knew a God existed. Mom and Dad never spoke to me about God or the Hindu gods. So I just had to, they just showed me to do the rituals and I had to perform them. But I knew in my heart there was a God, and I was God-fearing. I knew that a God existed. And every night I would go to bed saying, God, please stop my father from drinking. Please bring my family close together. And I would continue in the prayer saying, God, please feed all the poor children out on the streets, and please heal all the sick people in the hospitals. At age 6 and 7, and I would cry myself to sleep every night.
Now, so, did you think that was the Hindu God that you were praying to?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
But I would call him God. Because at this stage, yes, 6 or 7,
yes.
You know, I never went into my hot pursuit of God in Hinduism by this time.
Yeah.
But that was my prayer for years as a kid, started off at 6 and 7. So God was actually, you know, I do believe with all my heart, he was putting that in my heart to pray, looking back now, because there's no ways I would have prayed that out of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And as I went into my teenage years, the abuse at home got really bad. You know, every week there was abuse. My dad would break the furniture. My mom would call the police. There was police cars every weekend at our house. We were the laughing stock of the street because everybody knew what was going on the weekend. And this really started getting to me as a teenager. And this drove me more to search for God in Hinduism. And I decided, I have an aunt, my mom's elder sister, and she goes every Sunday to temple. She's one of the ladies that goes and cleans the temples during the week, and she's in the Sangam, and what you would call the Sangam choir. She's one of the ladies that even sing all the chants in the temple. So she's been very faithful, and I decided I'm going to join her every week and go to temple, to the Sangam, the Hindu temple. And I started pursuing God like crazy in Hinduism, just started seeking him. I would be there every Saturday. I would go every Sunday morning. Every time they had a big prayer, whether it be the Ma Shakti prayers or whatever, I would be there. And the funny thing about it, I would sit in the temple, didn't know what they were saying, because I did not learn the Tamil religion. But all the prayers would be in Tamil, the Tamil language. I would sit there and think to myself, oh, I'm in a house of God. Oh, this feels so good. I'm in a house of God. But didn't understand what they were doing. Didn't understand what they were singing. And this went on for years. I just threw myself into seeking for God in Hinduism for years. So from my teenage years right into my early 20s, I finally came to the place in my life where I was not seeing the reality of God in my life in Hinduism. Searched and searched and searched, but did not find God in Hinduism. It wasn't a reality in my life. My life was still the same. I was still broken. I was still messed up. Our house was still dysfunctional. There was no changes happening in our family. None of my prayers was being answered of my, God stopping my father from drinking and bringing our family close together. There was still, the beatings were going on, and the verbal abuse was still continuing. And I'm now in my early 20s. Mm. So I came to a place in my life where I stopped searching for God in Hinduism.
Mm. Now, can you, if I can interject, was it like a specific day where you made that decision, or was it kind of a culmination of time and then you gradually thought that, or can you remember like the day where you're like, that I am... there's something else.
At first, in my quest for God, was due to my brokenness and all the rejection and pain and not having any love and affection at home. And you go out and you pursue God to find all these, all these things, your security, your self-worth, your significance, and just being sworn at morning, noon, and night with the most foul words. You know, you're just seeking for a refuge. You're seeking for that love that you're supposed to legitimately get from your parents. And so that's why my pursuit was so hot, was so intense, was so passionate from the time I was a teenager right into my early 20s. But when I saw nothing change over those long periods of years and there was no hope, you know, I was just pumping myself up every day, every week. It was all self-effort, and there was no change. It began to wane, and I realized there is no reality to my beliefs. I'm not finding God. I'm not accessing God in Hinduism.
Mm. Right.
So it was like over a period of time.
Yes, it was many years. But it gradually phased into the reality mm-hmm. that I'm just pursuing something that's empty. It's mm-hmm. not bringing change.
Mm-hmm.
So in your heart, you knew there was something, but missing.
Yes.
And there was something to fill it, but it just wasn't in.
Yes.
Where you're in Hindu religion.
Not the yes. You didn't have the revelation of it yet.
Yes.
But you were on the, God had you on the right track.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
I really, this testimony means a lot to me because there's so many people that are in your situation that you're in, but their heart is seeking the Father. Yeah. It might be through, you know, Buddha, whatever. And I remember asking the Lord, and it kind of bugged me. And I was younger, and I know it could have sounded like I was young, but I was like, Lord, it's not fair. But then he showed me in John where Jesus says, those who seek the Father find him through me. So I know that this week, this testimony from Gail is exactly, she was seeking the Father. And it might have started out through, you know, Hinduism, but she found the Father through Jesus.
He got her there to the right track through Jesus Christ.
It was just a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And you got to come to a place in your life where you got to realize that if you're searching and pursuing something, there has got to be a result of it. Yeah. And when it's just emptiness and you're still the same with no changes in your life, your personal life, your soul, your heart, no joy, no changes in your family, you know that you're pursuing the wind.
Kind of like Elijah and those false prophets, you know.
Yes.
They probably in their heart thought they were, you know, that Baal was the right God.
Yes.
Yeah, but, just deceived.
Yeah, but they were deceived. And Elijah showed them that their God wasn't able to do anything.
Yes.
What the God of Israel did, and he showed him right there. And I thought that was pretty cool. And that's what he did for you. He showed, all those other things couldn't, Gail. They can't answer a heart that's seeking. They don't have the capability. They might for a little while, but it's just, if they really don't, I mean, it's kind of a facade thing. And then that person see, and the spirit knows this isn't it. And then God is able to show up. Shalom.